Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Father God, we just thank and exhort you. We appreciate you once again this morning for your love. We can't express to God our gratitude enough of that which you're doing. We just want to say, Father, we love you because you first loved us. We ask even now, Lord, you grant us insight into your word, revelation, that will bring forth light, O God of glory, in such a dimension that we become the true light of the world. And what that which you've ordained, O Holy Spirit of God, for us to walk in. Let your word be our guide, not our thinking. Let your word be our guide, not our feelings. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, today I want to start a new series with us. And I'm sure you enjoyed the last series we did with the voice of life and hearing the voice of God. I've really stopped the series. I've ended with all of the series, and I'm still getting feedback across the nations. Men are being blessed, still listening to those messages. People have had change of life, or changes of life, if you will, in taking the right decision. You know, there was one that came to yesterday and said, oh, Pastor, thank you so much. After I have listened to this, what I wanted to do, I couldn't do that. I changed and I have something better that I'm doing now. That is what the world does. Especially outside of this country, men are tremendously blessed. And I want to believe that it's also helping you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. So today we're dealing with the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. I know there are a lot of statements that have been made when it comes to this. This is not talking about karma. People, you have to understand that. It's not karma. It's not karmic in nature, but it's a universal law. Anyway, let me take my text, then I'm going to say something about it. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled. Now, here is Noah. You know this story very well, right? Noah, after the flood, offered up his sacrifice before the Lord. Amen? Right. And the Bible says, and the Lord smelled his sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Oh, thank you. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. And then verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night, shall not cease. Amen. I'm just believing that some of us will be able to offer sacrifices that will make God to make some decrees. But you see what? By the time Noah made his sacrifice, and I'm going to make you see that, it was not God to ask him to do it. But by the time he was done with his sacrifice, guess what? God made a decree. Hallelujah. And just like I mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 3, remember that. By the time Solomon finished doing what he wanted to do, God just said, come on, can you tell me what you want? Amen. So if you look at that verse 21, I'm so impressed with that. And the Lord smelled his sweet savour and said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from all his days, whatever you want to talk about. I will no longer I won't attempt it anymore. It's like God made a vow just because he smelled something. Hallelujah. It changed his mind. What I've done, you know what God is trying to say? The heart is good. Good things comes out of the heart. I was provoked to have done that, but I'm not going to do it anymore. Because the heart is good and something good can come out of the heart to me. And that's because of somebody's sacrifice. Are you getting that? May you live such a life that will bring transformation and make God to make some decrees about your life and about those around you. Hallelujah. Like I said before, this is not the issue of the doctrine of karma. Karma, so you reap evil, whatever, I know that people normally teach. This is a universal law. And it's a fundamental principle in God's kingdom. Fundamental principle in God's kingdom. So in our reaping is fundamental in the kingdom of God. It's a law that outside of in the kingdom, men who are not even in the kingdom can operate this law and harvest. Hallelujah. So, like I said, it teaches us that our actions have consequences and that we reap what we sow. Our action has consequences and we reap whatever we sow. I'm trying to give you a simple definition. In other words, if we sow good seeds, we will reap a good harvest. And if we sow bad seeds, we will reap bad fruit. The law applies to every area of our lives, which includes finances, relationship, health, and much more. Reaping and sowing and reaping is a law that goes around every aspect of our lives. I want you to get that. When you come to a relationship, for instance, you have to expect that most often you get what you invest in your spouse. Praise God. So God wants us to sow seeds of love, kindness, generosity, and faithfulness so that we can reap a harvest of blessing. He doesn't want you to sow wickedness because you will reap bad fruit if you're wicked. Is that okay? But again, you have to understand that you have the ability. There is something in your life. You have seed that you can always sow. First of all, you need to understand that you have seed in your life you can always sow. Somebody said, Pastor, you talk about finances. Yes, I'm going to talk about finances. But I'm trying to make you understand that this is a principle that goes around every aspect of our lives. Even in our languages, there are seeds. The kind of words you put out before people are seeds that can come back to you, either positively or negatively. You need to understand what I'm trying to say this morning. Life revolves around this principle of sowing and reaping. Anytime you sow a seed, it's like throwing a stone ahead of you. And you have to be careful to avoid the stone. Or else that same stone you throw ahead of you will cause you to stumble. Meaning also that It is not what you sow now that you reap instantly. Every seed going to the future to wait for you. Whether in relationship, whether in fellowship, whatever it is. Hallelujah. So the law of sowing and reaping is a powerful truth that can help us live more fulfilled and successful lives. And that's why I want to deal with this. I'm just going to hope that this will help you as you apply it to your life, as we begin to deal with this, that you may reap a better harvest. Can I hear an amen? So again, verse 22 of that Genesis says, while the earth remained, season and harvest and cold and winter and summer and winter, cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease, while the earth remained. In other words, this principle operates upon the face of the earth. You can't change it. No new philosophy can change it. Let me read a scripture. I'm going to deal with it more next week, but I think I can just read it. Let me see if I find it here. Very strong scripture that I think is very beneficial in the book of Jeremiah. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, yes. Jeremiah 33, let's look at it. I'll deal with it fully. But just look at it. 33 verse 19. The word of the Lord came unto me, unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of day and my covenant of night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may I also, my covenant, be broken with David my servant. Now I want you to understand this. God is trying to say, if you can't, I have made a covenant with David. And the things that make that covenant to stay, that cannot be revoked, is to study what happens in the day and the night. In other words, already I've said, as long as the earth remains, day and night shall not cease. Day and night will not cease, as long as the earth remains. And that's how my covenant is. My covenant with David shall not cease. How did he tag it? He tagged it to day and night. I don't know if you're getting that. So there will always be day and night, meaning it's a constant principle. And God is saying, my covenant with David and his house is constant. Nothing's going to change that. Did you follow this? Okay. So now, day and night shall not cease. By implication, one of the things that causes you to live a successful life on the earth today is in the operation of the principle of sowing and reaping. It relates to the earth. Amen. You're not going to go to heaven to be experiencing. We're not talking about that. This has to do with the earth. As long as the sun and the moon is up there, as long as day and night is there, and you also can breathe in the day and night season, this is what causes you to succeed on the face of the earth. Don't joke with what I'm about to share with you. Hallelujah. I know it has been abused in terms of sowing of seed and all of those things, but every good thing that God has ever given to us has always been abused. Now, the fact that something is abused doesn't mean it's not truth. Amen. Truth can be abused. How many of you understand that even love can be abused? There is nothing that cannot be abused on the face of the earth. But that does not remove it from what it is, or diminish from the fact of what it is. So, the law of sowing and reaping, whether abused by man, by pastor, whatever the case may be, is a fundamental principle of kingdom lifestyle. You can change it because it relates to day and night. The only time you can stop operating this principle is when you are no longer operating in the dimension of day and night. When you become totally spirit, But as long as you're on the X, you're still breathing this earth. You still can eat food which are planted. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the principle that you need to operate in. Hallelujah. Let's begin to look at the five from this passage. The principle of sowing and reaping operates from a willing heart. Noah was not told to make the sacrifices. It is in appreciation and understanding of your situation and your environment that leads you to sowing seeds that you will harvest tomorrow. Noah was not told. There's no scripture that says Noah told God to offer sacrifices. Perhaps, yes, he has learned it from whoever, I don't know. But there's no scripture that said God told Noah to offer sacrifices. Hallelujah. Are we here together? I need you together because this is very important. So, it must come from a willing heart. You are not forced to sow seeds. You can't be forced to sow seeds. And don't tell me you don't sow with a hope. Because there are also teachings that goes, well, you don't sow seed with any mindset of reaping. Who told you that? When you plant your crop, aren't you going to have a hope that a crop will grow? Come on. Don't let anybody make you feel, well, it's not of God if you have hope in the seed you sow it. Yeah. You may not have been told, but if you come from a willing heart, you should have hope. Hallelujah. Number two factor is, it comes from the value you place on God's goodness and mercy to you. Why do you sow seed? You're looking at the value you place on God. His goodness and His mercy for your life. Why did Noah offer the sacrifice? He looked at the goodness and the mercies of God. In saving him and his generation at that particular time is the value that Noah had for God, the provision God made in times of difficulties for himself and his family, the kind of grace that God extended to him, that's what forced him to offer the sacrifice. So, the sacrifice meant was like an appreciation. And God said, now I see men can value me for what I've done for them. Therefore, the earth, as long as it remains, seed time and harvest shall never what? Shall never cease. Meaning the seed time and harvest, as a point at which God expects you to appreciate him for the love that has shown on your behalf. Are you with me? You know, the flood came. God spoke to Noah, build the ark. Go in there with all your families and all that. So when Noah came out, I said, God, this is wonderful. You saved me and my family. I found grace in your sight. I go to offer this to you, Father. And that's all. Did you get that? So, sacrifices or seeds come from the value you place on God's goodness and mercy to you. So one of the things why you don't sow seed is because you don't seem to have any value for what God is doing for you. You don't have any value for them. You think it's your right. You think it's your privilege. Hallelujah. You think, yeah, it belongs to me. It has to be me. No. You just don't have value yet. You have not been able to estimate as to how good and gracious God had been to your life. Hallelujah. Number three, it's a product of your appreciation to God for His grace. No one found grace in the sight of God, like I said before. You are saved by grace, isn't it? Not because you wanted to be saved, according to Ephesians chapter 2. You are saved by grace. Noah found grace on the side of God, and he placed value on that singular fact and said, God, I got to offer sacrifice unto this man. The whole side have found grace. You have found grace in the sight of God. What is your estimation? What is your value for that grace that you already found in the sight of God? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Don't forget, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall never cease. God allowed that for a purpose, because of what He had in mind and what He expects from the earth. The earth I will not destroy anymore, because there is something good that comes out of the earth. Amen. Number four, it's an acknowledgement that God is supreme and you are in relationship with Him. Sowing seed is an acknowledgement that God is supreme and you have a relationship with Him. Are you there with me? Praise the Lord. You look so quiet. Are you sure you're following me? It's an acknowledgement that God is supreme, and that you are in a relationship with Him. Because when you're offering sacrifices like Noah did, he's offering into a supreme being who in turn responded. You understand that? So it was a covenant relationship. So your seed are like covenant before God, acknowledging a supreme being who has made all things available and possible for you. So you have a relationship with God where you sow. Men won't see this. Hallelujah. It's a covenant relationship you're entering with God with your seed in your hand. Praise God. So it's an acknowledgement that God is supreme and you have a relationship with Him. Number six, see, sowing is sacrificial. It's not forced on you and you can't determine the outcome. Noah did not know God was going to make a covenant because of his sacrifices. Take note of that. See, sowing is sacrificial. It is not forced on you, and you can't determine the outcome. Seed sowing is sacrificial. It can't be forced on you, and you can't determine the outcome. Are you following me? Noah offered unto God. He never knew that out of that sacrifice, God was going to make a covenant that borders on the earth. You can't determine the outcome of your seed. But it's a covenant that you enter into with God. Seed sowing is sacrificial. It is not forced on you, and you can't determine the outcome. Noah did not know God was going to make a covenant because of this sacrifice. He never knew that. But by the time he was done sowing the seed, and the aroma get back onto the fire, there was the next thing to do. God said, I will never cause it grand anymore. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall never cease. Noah never knew that. Noah was not pursuing that. So the outcome of your seed you can't tell, and the outweigh, Hokama Shanda, the outweigh what you are sowing. As we progress, I make you see that. Today I'm just giving definitions. After that, I begin to give you people who sow one kind of seed or the other and the outcome of those seeds. But if I may mention at this junction the case of Cornelius, how many of you remember? The Holy Ghost came to the house of Cornelius. Why? Because of his almsgiving and his prayers. Oh, come on. When we get, I'm going to deal with that. Your seed can give you joy in the Holy Ghost. See, your seed can cause the whole of your family to be saved. When the Spirit came, Peter was only talking. I had a trance, and the angels came, and the people you sent came. Before he finished speaking, what's the next thing that happened? The Holy Ghost came down, and the whole house of Cornelius were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They never fasted for it. Seeds made that possible. So what makes you think that God does not consider the seed is whole? And the word that came today said, your prayers and your almsgiving have become what? A memorial. That means God taking record. Some of you who saw, you think you're wasting your time. You are not wasting. They are ahead waiting for you. When Cornelius was doing that, he was not doing that he wasn't doing that thinking that God's going to come to his house tomorrow with an Holy Spirit invasion. No. He was just sowing it. He was just doing it. But they were going to the future. So everything he did before the time of Pentecost came, he got the harvest. What was the harvest? Pentecostal experience. He became the first Gentile person to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say when you are sowing seed, you are throwing them to your future. You meet them on the other side. It doesn't have to be now. So don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap. Sow seed, man. Hallelujah. Don't be tired of doing it. Don't be weary of doing it, because a major principle that God has put in place. Amen. Today and last week, or the other time, last month, when the Spirit ministered to me and said, this is why your finances have shut down. And I just opened up. Clung it on my app there, sent some seed to an individual. Just the next week, I woke up to see my account in a good shape. Hallelujah. It didn't even take a year for that to happen. And then I said, this is why this happened. I mean, you can't beat God. You can only agree with him. If he says a thing, live by it, walk by it, you get your results. Even if people have abused it, I'm still telling you, you can blow it out, but there is no power in seed sowing. You can't. There is so much when you sow seed. It's a principle on the face of the earth. And you can't change that. Your philosophy can't change that. Whether you are Christian or Catholic, you can't change that. The truth remains the same. Hallelujah. And some of you will think, oh, but Pastor, look, I'm a poor person. No, I'll make you see that. The Macedonian church was so poor, but yet they could give. Amen? It has nothing to do with poverty. It has to do with the mindset. And in fact, if you want to get out of poverty, it's all the more reason you sow. Because if you have a single seed of corn in your hand, like I'm going to mention, and you keep it because you have one seed, right? At the end of the day, you may either eat up the corn or nothing happens to it. But if you sow that one seed, what happens? It gives you an ear of corn, what you cannot count. So poverty is not enough excuse not to be a seed sower. You sow at your level. What important thing you understand is a principle. You sow at your level. Amen? Okay. Number 7. You can reap beyond what you have sown. A single seed of corn can give you an abundant harvest of a comb to which you may not be able to count the seed. You know the corn, right? You know what the corn is? The corn you buy and chew along the road. Can you count the seed in one comb? It takes you a lot of time for you. But now, if you take that one seed out of the corn and you sow it, the harvest is not one seed anymore. The harvest is a comb. Did you understand what I'm saying now? You sow one seed of corn, you harvest a comb of corn. Maybe two or three on one plant. But it's not one seed you planted. That's the way harvest works. So when God is saying seed time and harvest, you have to understand your harvest is always beyond what you sow. It's a natural principle. It's a natural principle. Men, no matter how they want to abuse this, no matter how to speak against it, this is a natural principle. Hallelujah. My dad was a farmer, and I remember, okay, even so many of us here, you know, take your cassava stem, one stick cassava stem, plant it. What do you get out of that? Tubers of cassava and a lot of stems. You plant that one stem, but they're going to have abundant stems that you can use to plant the whole field. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to plant yam? Little piece of yam, it gives you a tuber. Hallelujah. Why? God has said this is the way it must work on the earth. It's the way it must work. So, listen. God has made it such a way that anything you put on the earth will always multiply. Come on, you need to get this fact now. Anything you sow on the earth must multiply. Anything you sow on the earth must multiply. Because he said, seed time and harvest shall never cease. And he gave that. It's so when God said it, he empowered the earth to produce every seed that comes into it. Did you see that? So drop a seed of corn, and what do you expect to come up? Harvest of combs of corn that comes out of one thing that you planted. Every seed you sow produces a harvest that you can quantify. It may not be now, it may not be tomorrow, but your harvest is sure. Because the law is operating. As long as I am God, this earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall never see. Somebody saying, Pastor, I used to see you to be a kingdom teacher. Why are you teaching this about seed sowing? Oh, I must not fail to declare to you the whole counsel of God. This is God's whole counsel. I can't be feeding your spirit without feeding your natural ability to do stuff. You still breathing. You still eating. You still go to work, isn't it? I must let you know how to succeed on this earth. So don't be confused about what I'm teaching. This is kingdom. Hallelujah. Number 9. Look at Ephesians 3 verse 20. Directly connected to what I said about the corn. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that does what? That worketh in us. Now what I want you to get there is the word abundant, which is connected to the corn that I said before. Sow our corn, God do beyond. Plant a tuber of yam or a piece of yam, it gives you a tuber. That's an abundant. Plant a stem of cassava, it gives you several sticks of cassava that you can use for the whole field. He does abundantly, abundantly. But the thing is, you have to do something for the abundance to come. Yeah, he said, God do abundantly above what you ask or think. There is asking, there is thinking, and then there is sowing. Every of these principles produce what? Abundance. If you're asking, yes, it will do beyond. If you're thinking, it will do beyond. If you're sowing, it will do beyond. No limitation. There's always an abundance for every act that you put up. Like I said in the beginning, it can be negative abundance or positive abundance, depending on what you sow. Hallelujah. Are we see here? Number 11. Am I right on number 12? Who is writing? Are you following me? Number 12. Okay, you take that. Seeds are like future investments. The harvest is with interest. Seed are like future investments. The harvest is with interest. This is also very crucial. Hallelujah. You go to the bank, you put in your money, they give you the interest rate. So we tell you, you can get your money back until 6 months or 1 year or 2 years, depending on the kind of investment you're making. But at the end, when you're getting back your money, you get it almost double of what you invested. So seeds are like investment. You always harvest beyond what you sow. There are future investments that you can toy with. Amen? And they see it, like I'm saying, the financial cycle can come from giving, through tithing, through vows. All of those shades, they are part what we call giving or seed sowing. Your offering is seed sowing. You need to understand this. Praise God. I've explained to you before. People say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Praise God. Not in the New Testament doctrine. Praise God. What is tithing? Acknowledging that God gave you the wisdom, the power, everything you have, with which you do whatever thing you do. If you're a businessman, the wisdom comes from God. You're only saying, God, thank you for the wisdom you've given to me. That's tithing. It's just a principle of giving that breaks you from greed. It's a principle that makes you to know God first before any other thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of that thing shall be added. You're seeking God first with your finances. And so when your money comes to you, the first thing is, I want to pay my tithe. What is the meaning of that? I remember God is gracious. God made me to harvest this. You are just acknowledging him. That's tithing. It's not a law. It's a principle of giving. Praise God. You know, I used to, it's so funny when people argue and debate all of this thing. Oh, tithing is under the law. Tithing is Old Testament. Okay, fine. What about hands laying? Where do you come from? You still lay hands in church, people? You still lay hands on people? That's an Old Testament principle. Laying on of hand is an Old Testament principle, if you don't know. What about the oil you are using? Where do you get it from? You still pour oil on people's head. You don't call it Old Testament. You lay hands on people. You don't call it Old Testament. When it comes to tithing, Old Testament. You're deceiving yourself. Check your Bible. Laying on of hand, Old Testament. Pouring oil is Old Testament. Naming children, which you do as Christian, Old Testament. Am I correct? Hallelujah. Why are you trying to deceive yourself? Forget it. This is a principle that enables you to break away from greed and to acknowledge the source of your supply. The very same thing that Noah did, offered unto God. He acknowledged God who brought him out of that flood and his family together. Hallelujah. So seeds are like future investment. The harvest is always with what? Interest. I don't want you to miss this. Praise God. You have some of you who have lodged your money in the bank. For 1 year, 2 years, you are expecting some put in there for children education. These are investments you're making for a number of years for them to come and get harvested. That's exactly how your seed works. You sow your seed, it's an investment. Praise God. Actually, yesterday I had a very busy day. And when I came back, I was working on what was ministering to my heart. But halfway my preparation, the Lord said, now, Genesis 8:22 is what I want you to share with them. I couldn't even continue because I was so tired, I went to bed. So at about 4 a.m. I woke up and the Lord began to pour all of this thing out unto me. It's for your good. I believe that somebody's going to be blessed receiving this word. It's a new season for you. As you keen to what you're about to say, the changes are going to be seen in your finances and even in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Look at a typical example of this. Proverbs 19 verse 17. Got about 5 minutes more. Proverbs 19 verse 17. Let me see if I can finish up. Hallelujah. Amen. 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will be pay him back again. We will pay you back. God will pay you back. You know what it means to lend? Most often when you put your money in the bank, you are lending to the bank. That's why they pay you interest. That's what it means. So kingdom finances, what is that supposed to be? You invest in people. You invest in people. So what you're giving to people, don't think it's a waste. You are lending to the Lord. Hallelujah. By implication, God makes himself a debtor for everything that is given to the poor. He makes himself a debtor. Who will not advance such a cause? Who will blow his eyes on such a cause? I mean, I don't understand. How can you so be so blinded to this reality that you can make God to become a debtor to you because of the investment you're making in people's life? Hallelujah. I want you to understand it because it's very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. That's why I'm going to make you see some things as well. The next thing I want you to see is seeds are covenant related. Like I said earlier, you are enacting the covenant sacrifice of Christ when you sow seed. You are enacting that sacrifice. You are just bringing it out. It's just like you do what you call your holy communion. You are enacting the sacrifice. You're practicing what it means to make sacrifice. Because God had to sacrifice. And what happened? God sowed one seed. And what is happening in the world? He's harvesting the whole world. One man died and the whole world is being harvested. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? God got the principle. I'm going to sow my son into the world to reap the world. So he sowed his son, and what's the next thing? Everything is coming back to him. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, his seed in the world, God will not invest the world unto himself. So God saw the principle. That's why I told you, as long as the earth remains, Satan and harvest shall never cease. And I'm going to practice that myself. In fact, I've already started practicing it. I'm sending my son as a seed into the world, and I'm investing the world, the whole world. Now everybody is coming to God today because one seed was sown on the earth. Is it making sense to you? Hallelujah. So if you look at Philippians 1 verse 19, this is what it says. For I know that this shall turn into my salvation. That's the prayers now. Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That one I want you to pick from that place, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's very, very important. Because it actually means furnishing whatever is necessary. Furnishing whatever is necessary. The Spirit of Christ here has been there to help us in times of troubles, difficult times, infirmities, wisdom, strength, reasoning. All of this will come from the Spirit of who? Of Christ. And that is why you read in Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse number 9. What do you find there? After this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in heaven. Give us this day, what? Our daily bread, daily supply of the Spirit of Christ. When you sow your seed, you are enacting the sacrifice of who? Of Jesus. So that you can have daily supply. What's the daily supply given to you there? It could be wisdom for your business. It could be strength. It could be your health. Hallelujah. Come on. Are we together here? There's a daily supply. You wake up in the morning, you are healthy. I mean, things are just happening. Why? Because you're investing. You're sowing seed into the future. So there's a daily supply. You find that, you know, in the Old Testament, remember that, when manna was coming, take daily manna. Is that okay? Yeah. And what did Jesus said? So your father ate manna in the wilderness and they died, but I am the true bread that came from heaven. So when he said, pray, give us daily bread. He wasn't referring to the manna in the wilderness, he was referring to his own supply, the Spirit supply, the supply of the Spirit of Christ that you need daily for whatever thing you need to do. Your business, you need a daily supply of wisdom. How are you connecting to that? Seed. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people who have gone up and they come down. Financially, I already in somebody testimony 2 days ago. So rich, and he just dive down, nose dive. You understand that? One of the reasons why this thing happened because we don't acknowledge that it's God that gave us all of those things that we have. That's one of the major reasons why sometimes a business can nose dive. We don't acknowledge the God. It's the same thing that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. I say, they know the whole Babylon that I built. God said, they're coming down, becoming like what? A beast. For 7 years. Why? Because we don't acknowledge the God who gave us the wisdom to do the business we are doing. We think it's all about our strength that we can make money. No. That is not it. So in acknowledging God, he sustains you. He gives you daily supply of wisdom, of intelligence, anything you need, even in your business. He gives it to you. That's what I call the daily supply of the Spirit of Christ. Are you still there with me? How do you connect to that? Seed sowing, sacrifices. God has given us everything. Yes, you will say. Freely has he given us. Yes, he freely has given to us. Why do you pray? If he has given to you freely everything, you still pray. Why do you pray? No, you tell me, why do you pray? Come on, is anybody following what I'm saying? Because that's the argument that people, oh no, God has given us all things that pertains to life by godliness. Yes, I quote that and I know that, but my question, why do you pray? What do you pray for? Everything I've been given to you, so why are you praying? Praise God. And the Bible is still asking you, seek, knock, it shall be opened. How do you seek? These are the principles I'm talking about. It's God that said that. Praise God. Are we here? Get it right, people. Don't let anybody fool you about all of those, you know, whatever, no. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall never cease. God said that. And let me show you this and then we'll close. The reason why people can't invest in the kingdom, I've already been saying it before, you'll be able to understand it. Luke 23 verse 50. Luke 23 verse 50. Praise God. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was born and a good man and a just. The same had not condemned or consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, right? A city of Jews, who also himself waited for what? The kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now, go up again. No. Go up again. Go to verse 51. There's something I want you to see. Very good. This man had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited. Go to 50. Let me see. There's something I want you to see there. Very good here. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. Now, if you watch the whole of this picture of this man, he was a rich man. Everything about who he should be is well described here. But he saw something beyond just being rich. The Bible says he was waiting for what? The kingdom of God. The wealth he has did not becloud his vision of God's kingdom and Jesus. He went. I only ask this question: what do you need a dead corpse for? Jesus have died. Hallelujah. You see, you can't sow into the kingdom without a clear vision about kingdom investment. Let me tell you this. Arimathea, Joseph Arimathea, his village was Arimathea. That's why he called Joseph Arimathea. He was not in Jerusalem. Only in my second son, his burial grave should be in his community. Why did he have to buy a tomb in Jerusalem? Awaiting. He saw something ahead of time. Invested, waiting for the death of who? Of Jesus. And he gave it out. Why you don't invest in the kingdom is you have no vision about what the kingdom of God is all about. Joseph went and got the corpse, took it to his own grave. I don't know if you understand that. The grave or the burial of a Jewish man is most precious. That's why wealthy people, they carve out their grave, buy up their coffin, whatever, before they die. They prepare for it. He gave out. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? Why? Because he saw something. The Bible says he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Without clear revelation about the kingdom, you can't sow seed. You can't invest in the kingdom of God. And those who have not seen this, they can think that you are just wasting your resources. But you are investing in life. If you understand that life does not end here, then you should be able to know that every investment you're making in the kingdom is ahead of you. You invest for your future. See, sowing is an investment for your future. Hallelujah. I wish somebody can be like Joseph Arimathea to have an understanding. Hallelujah. As to what the kingdom of God is all about. The righteousness, the peace, and the joy of the Lord. Invest in the kingdom of God. These are some of the fruit you reap. You reap the righteousness of God, which is the supply of the Spirit of who? Of Jesus Christ. On a regular basis, your righteousness expounded because Christ is the righteousness of God. So if there's a supply of the Spirit, what is that supposed to mean? A constant supply of God's righteousness into your life. The fullness will come into manifestation. Why? Because you're sowing seed into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is very, very crucial. And you can say all manner of things about it. You can try to not to believe it. It makes no difference. But I'm telling you the simple truth that God has made it as a rule and as a law and as a covenant. As far as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall never cease. It's a principle that guides you in this life. You can't escape it, no matter what you think. If you think not to sow, that itself is a seed.
Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you say, I don't feel like sowing, that is heavy as a seed. You are sowing nothing, so you get nothing. Every act is a seed. Every inaction is a seed. Every negligence is a seed. I don't know if you're getting this. The things you neglect to do, we end up coming to you to fight you. So it's a seed. Everything, every act on this earth, God is saying, every action on this earth is what? It's a seed. So you don't have a neutral ground. You don't have sitting on the fence. No. There is a seed you are sowing for not doing nothing. Hallelujah. And you also harvest nothing. Praise God. Everything is a seed. And God said, as far as the earth is concerned, this is the way it's going to operate. And I'm not going to change my mind. No. Sun and the moon, day and night, no. Like Jeremiah, we read in 33. This is the way it's going to be. I'm not changing my mind about it. The earth must operate by this simple principle. If you want to survive on the earth, this is the principle which you must live by. Seed time and harvest shall never cease. Can we pray?
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.